A mobile shaped like two speech bubbles spins in front of a white background. In the bubbles, yellow letters spell the word pathé with an exclamation mark. The shadow of a chicken with a halo glides across the background. A still of two boys riding bikes under a railway bridge in the countryside.
The French have said au revoir to the franc. The Germans have said auf Wiedersehen to the Deutschmark. And the Portuguese have said whatever to their thing.
Go!
Now it's our turn to say goodbye to Sterling. This Christmas we are going to get the euro. Goodbye, old pounds. Everyone says we're going to miss you.
The boys race their bikes through a field of tall yellow oilseed rape.
I can't see you! Where are you?
A man's with a building site foreman.
This is the main drag along here. That's Portland. Bisecting out at right angles is Lundy on that side. On this side is Fastnet. What's yours?
Cromarty.
Cromarty and German Bite. Cul-de-sac over here.
The foreman leads the man, Mr. Cunningham, across the site, which is a large expanse of cleared land, with ropes and pegs indicating where houses are to be built. The boys continue tearing through the rape crop as an express train thunders past the field. The boys reach the headland of the field and ride on through an open metal gate, which brings them onto the building site. They drop their bikes and run into the roped-off site for one of the houses. The number 20 has been painted on the ground.
He's gonna call it serendipity!
This is my room.
And mine.
Get your own room.
The older boy's about 10 and the younger one 7. They lie on their backs as the wooden frame of the house constructs itself around them. Brick walls build themselves and floorboards appear over beams. The boys run out of the self-building house as plasterboard appears on the walls. Stairways build themselves and cables wire themselves into fuse boxes. Electric lights come on, illuminating the skeleton of the house. A bathroom folds itself together like a cardboard box, and the boys come in, awestruck. Turf lays itself on the lawn, and the boys roll around on the upstairs floor as tiles appear on the roof. A white screen dissipates into fragments. One small speck of white remains at the bottom of the screen. It's the film's title, Millions. The younger boy, Damien, sits on the tailboard of a removal lorry as his dad, Mr. Cunningham, carries boxes into it. Damien reads a book, inside which is a picture of a saintly woman with a child.
The patron saint of house removals is Saint Anne. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, she lived in the desert, obviously, and when she wanted to move house, angels came, picked up her house and took it to Italy.
Andy.
Damien follows his dad into the house they're vacating. He waits by the front door and pulls the house keys out of the keyhole. His dad comes out with a large bag.
She was our lady's mother.
What are you on about, Damien?
Saint Anne, I've got a picture.
No, I don't care. Just get in the car where you were going. Go on, get in the car.
Damien joins his brother in the car.
Was she in it at the time?
Who?
Saint Anne. When the angels did the, you know, the airlift.
I don't know.
Mr. Cunningham looks thoughtful as he steps into the hallway of the house and takes a last look around. Mr. Cunningham walks back out of the house and shuts the door behind him. Mr. Cunningham's red Volkswagen Golf Estate pulls out from behind the removal lorry, and Mr. Cunningham gestures out of the window for it to follow them. Wild grass gently blows in the wind, as beyond a field stands a newly built housing estate. The Volkswagen and removal lorry drive through the estate.
Start with the money. That's what our Anthony says. That's what people want to know about. Like if you're moving house. You don't say, we're moving house and the new one's got a green door. You say how much you're paying, how much you got for the old one. Mortgage, interest rates, stamp duty, solicitor's fees, how much you'll get if the new one goes up in value.
That's called equity.
Personally, I think so what? Money's just a thing, and things change. One minute something's there and you can cuddle up to it, the next minute it's gone, like a Malteser.
Mr. Cunningham calls upstairs.
Is this fantastic or what?
Surprisingly spacious, with attractive views.
Oh, that sounds brilliant. I must go upstairs.
And anyway, in the end, it turns out it wasn't about the money after all.
Good lad.
Removal men carry a double mattress upstairs, while in another room men unroll a carpet. Damien pushes an old television box from one room into another, then takes it outside, carrying it over his head. He comes to a stretch of waste ground, pushes a wooden pallet away from a gap in a fence and steps through. Beyond the fence is the railway line, and Damien watches as a couple of trains hammer past. Damien cuts the side of the box with scissors. He returns to the waste ground with another large box and tapes the boxes together with parcel tape. He opens a flap in the side of a box like a window. Damien has taped a number of large boxes together to form a cardboard den with two tunnels leading off from different sides. He pops his head up through a hatch in the top and looks around, then positions another cardboard box onto the hatch like a chimney. One of the pallets has been placed on the floor of the den and Damien steps inside. At the house, Mr. Cunningham sticks a frozen food packet onto the fridge door. Anthony walks over to him and Damien comes in with the mail.
Right. This is what we're having tonight, yeah? Before countdown, put the oven on. After countdown, get a packet of these, put them in there with some oven chips, yeah?
It's for Mum.
The time is on here, yeah?
OK.
That's how long they have to stay in. By the time they're ready, I'll be back.
She may already have won £10,000. Her name has been entered in a draw. All she has to do is...
Yeah. Thank you. Hands. Other side.
Mr. Cunningham inspects their hands and gently slaps them down.
Let's go.
He picks up their lunch boxes and Damien takes the letter.
That's you. Get your bags. Yeah, and your book bag, Damien. Keys.
The boys pick up their school bags and Mr. Cunningham grabs his keys. Mr. Cunningham walks Anthony and Damien through the gates of the school.
Now remember, it's no good being clever. You've got to be the cleverest, yeah?
All right, see you, Dad.
Good luck, lads.
See ya. Are you nervous?
Bit. Mr. Cunningham returns to the car. Damien and his classmates sit on the floor in front of their teacher.
So, everybody sitting up nicely? Excellent. Now, we're talking today about people we admire. Dominic?
Roy Keane, sir. Manchester United.
Very good. Roy Keane. What about you, Barry?
Van Nistelrooy, sir.
Van Nistelrooy. Right. Anyone got any heroes who don't play for United? Jack?
Robbie Fowler, sir. City.
All right, that's enough. Trisha?
I don't know any footballers, sir.
It doesn't have to be a footballer. It could be anyone.
Don't know, sir.
No? Damien?
St. Rock, sir.
Who's he play for?
No one, sir. He's a saint.
Oh, that's better. Go on.
He was so worried that he might say something bad that he said nothing at all for 20 years.
We could do with a couple like him in this class. Thank you, Damien.
I like a lot of virgin martyrs too. Like St. Agatha. She ripped her own eyes out so she wouldn't have to marry this man. Or St. Catherine of Alexandria. They tried to kill her by crushing her to death on a wheel. But she made the wheel explode and all the splinters killed people in the crowd. Patron saint of fireworks. That's where we get the Catherine wheel from.
I did say thank you, Damien. Right. I brought in this picture. This is a hero of mine. Who knows who this is?
Nelson Mandela.
Fantastic. Nelson Mandela. Now, who knows what Nelson Mandela...
Speeded up film of Damien's classmates running up to a white wall and sticking different coloured letters onto it. They spell out the message, "Welcome to our school, Damien Cunningham." At playtime, Damien and Anthony are leaning against a brick wall.
You should be careful what you talk about. Try talking about football or something. Keep off the weird stuff. Just don't be conspicuous or you won't fit in.
Anthony runs off, leaving Damien standing alone near a Coke machine. The school children wear blue or yellow tops and black trousers or skirts. Some of the children play with huge bouncy balls that are almost as big as them. Others skip, play with hoops or play patter cake. An aerial view of the school playground, a large roundish section of concrete set within the larger playing field. In a shop, the children queue up in front of the selection of sweets and chocolate bars. Anthony and Damien are at the front of the queue.
Roll your yarpa, please, and five juicy lips.
The bald-headed shopkeeper serves them.
I've seen you two here before.
We just moved here. Our mum's dead.
The shopkeeper gulps awkwardly.
Yeah, well, go on. You're all right.
Thanks.
God bless. Well, who's next?
Well, it's every time. Tell your mum's dead and they give you stuff. Every time.
Night falls over the estate. Several of the residents, including Mr. Cunningham and the boys, are gathered in the living room of one of the houses as a bearded police officer stands and addresses them.
I'm your community policeman. Obviously, there is no community here as yet, not to speak of, but, you know.
Anyway, the first thing to say is, these new houses and Christmas coming up,
statistically, you're going to get burgled. Now, not all of you, but some of you, soon. Probably this week. Next. When you are, call me.
He gives them cards.
I'll give you a crime number, and then you can make a claim on your insurance.
He gives a card to Mr. Cunningham.
Building maintenance.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I'm usually right, it's a knack. Do you mind me asking? Is the kettle actually on?
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Isn't the problem here that our houses are built on sand?
Sand? No. They're not, are they?
If you store up your treasure on Earth, it will be stolen. But if you give it away, then it can't be stolen.
Mormons!
Well, Latter-day Saints.
Saints? I know all about
them. Damien, go and give Terry a hand in the kitchen, will you? Yeah, you too, Anthony. Off you go. Good lads.
The boys go into the kitchen.
Now, some of you are going to be burgled. There are things I can tell you that will lower the odds of it being you personally. It's a bit antisocial because if it isn't you, it'll be next door, but there you go.
The boys watch Terry making tea.
Our mum's dead.
Terry turns to them, then picks up a plate of biscuits wrapped in green foil.
Yeah. Come on, help yourself.
Damien steps forward.
Take as many as you like, son.
Damien takes a couple of handfuls of biscuits, then goes back to Anthony. The three Mormons wear fluorescent strips as they ride together through the dark estate on pushbikes. Anthony and Damien munch their biscuits as they sit on the doorstep of Serendipity, their house.
Result.
Is it completely honest?
Completely dead, isn't it?
The Mormons pass them and ride off down the estate. Christmas lights hang from a couple of conifers and around some window frames. An illuminated Santa flashes on and off in a nearby window. Bright yellow light spills into Damien's bedroom through the vertical blinds on his window, casting bars of yellow onto the bed and floor. Damien's in bed and stirs, then throws back his brown duvet and gets out. He wears orange pyjamas and pads across his bedroom. He opens the door and steps onto the landing. More bars of bright yellow light fall onto the landing carpet. Damien knocks on the door to Anthony's room.
What?
Damien opens the door and takes a step inside.
What do you want?
Damien stays by the door.
Can't you see I'm busy? Just go away.
Anthony's on his computer. Damien steps back onto the landing and closes the door. The camera glides over the tops of the rooms and comes into Mr. Cunningham's room. Damien opens the door and walks in. Mr. Cunningham's fast asleep in a double bed with his arm draped across the space beside him. Damien walks up to the bed.
I don't like having my own room.
Mr. Cunningham opens his eyes and pulls away the duvet. Beside him, two pillows lie end to end in the empty space. He throws the pillows off and Damien gets in. Mr. Cunningham lies the duvet over him and goes back to sleep. It's a sunny day as Damien stands on a ridge by the railway line. He runs down the ridge and crawls into his den. He opens a flap in the side of the den and watches a train thunder past. The vibration shakes the den and Damien grins as he rocks back and forth. Images like photos fall onto the screen, showing Damien in his den with a lady dressed like a nun. Halos also fall onto the screen. One of them lands on the head of the lady in the nun's habit, who sits facing Damien. She places a religious ornament in the shape of a round, beaming sun in front of her.
Claire of Assisi, 1194 till 1253.
That's right.
She grins and looks up through the hatch.
I used to have a hermitage myself once.
She puts a cigarette in her mouth, sparks it up with a lighter and takes a deep drag.
I used to go and hide up there. If anyone needed me, I'd send him a vision, sort him out. That's why I'm the patron saint of television. I was like human television.
You're the patron saint of television?
Keeps me busy, you know.
She takes another puff and blows a smoke ring.
Are you allowed to smoke then?
You can do what you like up there, son. It's down here, you have to make the effort.
Damien leans forward.
Do you ever come across the St. Maureen? She hasn't been there long.
Don't ring a bell. Then again, it is infinite up there. Absolutely bloody infinite.
Damien looks up at the sun pouring in through the hatch.
Listen.
A dark object bounces across the waste ground, kicking up a cloud of dust every time it hits the ground. Damien opens the flap in the side of the den and watches. The large dark object spins through the air and lands on the roof of the den, crushing it.
Dad!
Damien forces his way out of the crumpled den and looks around. A few yards away lies a huge bulging sports bag. The zip of the bag slides undone to reveal that it's stuffed full of cash. Damien looks up at the clouds that quickly glide across the blue sky. The sun beats down on him and he looks back at the sports bag with a smile. Damien leads Anthony onto the waste ground.
What is it anyway? What are you doing with all these boxes?
They go over to the wreckage of the den.
What's that?
Wait and see.
Damien throws a sheet of cardboard off the sports bag and unzips it. Anthony gapes at the money in amazement. He stares at Damien for a moment, then crouches beside the bag.
Where'd you get that?
You can see it too, then. Well, you know, sometimes you see things, don't you? And other people can't see them.
What?
Well, you know, sometimes. But this is real, though.
This is real. This is real.
Can't wait to tell Dad.
He can't tell Dad about this. He can't tell anyone about this.
Why not?
Tax. If the government find out about this, they'll take 40% of it away. 40%. Do you know how much that is? Nearly all of it.
They carry the bag between them. Back at home, they lug the sports bag into Damien's room and stuff it under the bed.
Shall we count it before we go? No, we can't. We're really late.
Anthony smiles mischievously at Damien. They yank open the bag, tip out the money and spread out the wads of cash.
How much?
How much?
There's thousands!
10,000!
50,000!
70!
200,000!
Millions even!
They throw money at each other like it's snow.
Cash? Jenga!
A wind-up dog backflips on the money. The boys have built a huge tower out of the cash. Anthony brings in another boy.
Promise not to tell anyone.
What is it?
He sees a bit of the money.
How much is it?
Thousands.
Hundreds. It's just hundreds. No one else knows. So if anyone finds out, we'll know it's you, OK?
He gives the afro-haired boy some cash and shows him out. He shows in a woolly-hatted boy.
If anyone finds out, we'll know it's you. No one else knows. Just me and you.
Thanks.
Yeah, just keep it short.
Anthony gives the boy some cash and shows him out. Damien sits on the floor, hiding the rest of the money behind him. Anthony and Damien have a money fight, and the tower rebuilds itself. They hide the cash back under the bed.
£229,520 minus 100 quid each spending money leaves 229,320 quid.
And we're going to give all that to the poor.
Where are you going to find poor people?
There's loads of poor people.
Not round here. The house prices keep them out.
The large black sports bag has a Nike swoosh on the side and lies in the shadows beneath Damien's bed. A bright blue sky looks down on a grassy hill. Damien leans forward as he runs up the hill, pushing a large cardboard box in front of him. He leaves the box near the brow of the hill, then runs down again and comes back up, dragging two more large cardboard boxes behind him. When all the boxes are together, Damien opens the top flaps of one of them. Pigeons swarm out of the box and fly off, leaving a cloud of feathers behind them. Damien opens other boxes and releases more pigeons. He chases after them, waving his hands.
Go on, go, go! Go on, go, go, go! Go on!
Damien looks behind him and sees a bearded figure wearing a monk's habit standing on the brow of the hill.
Francis of Assisi, 1181 till 1226. You did this, didn't you?
My first act as a saint.
Damien walks over to St. Francis, who flings his hands into the air, releasing two white doves. Damien stares up at him.
What was your next one?
Washing a leper.
A leper?
You could just help the poor, Damien.
They look out over the town. In a high street...
Big issue, help the homeless. Big issue, anyone?
Damien holds out some cash to her.
Hello.
We'll keep the change.
Oh, thanks, mate. I've had nothing to eat all day.
Oh, we're going to Pizza Hut. Wants a cup?
No. No, she doesn't. She just wants more money. We haven't got any more.
No fancy pizza, actually. Can I bring my friend?
She indicates a homeless guy crouched in front of a shop. Damien nods. Damien strides across a pedestrian crossing, followed by Anthony, the homeless girl, and four of her friends. In Pizza Hut...
Me feast deep and juicy stuffed crossmates.
Two meat feasts, thick and crispy.
Oh, big New Yorker.
The combo platter.
Who's a farmhouse? I'll have some garlic bread, love. We'll all have some garlic bread, while we?
And dipping chicken. To share.
This is great. Anthony thought there were no poor people around here because of the house prices.
Well, not from round here. Coming on bus.
I come in on the train.
Can't afford to live round here.
Who exactly is paying for all this?
We are.
You must be minted.
Yeah, we are.
No. No, we're not. It's birthday money. It's birthday money. He saved it.
Puddings?
No!
Later.
168 quid. Do you know how many times we'd have to visit Pizza Hut to get rid of all the money? 1,303.517 times. It's just not practical.
We should buy property. See this house? We could buy two like that. If they knocked them off the asking price. And if we did buy property, that'll go up in value, so we'd have even more money. Damien?
Anthony looks around, but Damien's gone. Damien sits on a wheelie bin outside the Mormon's house. One of the Mormons cycles past Damien and onto his drive.
Excuse me?
The man stops.
Are you poor?
Big pun?
Are you poor?
Are you asking for money?
Me? No.
Because we don't have any. We live in a community, you know. It's very basic. We don't have a dishwasher, for instance, or a microwave. And there's no cash kept on the premises.
So you are poor?
The man thinks.
In a sense, yes.
Brilliant!
Damien jumps off the wheelie bin and runs off down the road. That night, Damien and an old man with a thick white beard are at the front door of the Mormon's house. They stuff £20 notes through the letterbox. In a foreign language, the old man says, "Stuff it in, stuff it in."
St. Nicholas Admirer?
St. Nicholas replies, 4th century patron saint of sailors. Oh, and Father Christmas, obviously. They stuff the Mormon's letter cage full of money.
It won't talk, it?
St. Nicholas says, "Doesn't matter, the poor are always with us." He stands and gives the sports bag back to Damien. Damien and St. Nicholas walk off down the road and St. Nicholas puts on a small mitre.
St. Nicholas, do you ever come across a St. Maureen?
Who?
St. Maureen. She's new.
What did she do?
Skincare. She worked on the makeup counter at Selfridges.
Selfridges?
Selfridges. He leans down to Damien and says, "Doesn't ring a bell, but then I don't get out much." A TV studio's been mocked up to look like a winter snow scene. Leslie Phillips and a young blonde woman in a Santa cloak sit in a sleigh full of presents.
It's less than a fortnight to E-Day. That's when Britain completes transition to the European Monetary Union, the EMU.
Well, with 12 days left to E-Day, my true love said to me,
"The transitional exchange rate is fixed at 67p.
Oh, well, all I can say is ding dong.
After E-Day, your old money will no longer be legal tender. It's pounds goodbye and euros.
Hello.
The boy with the afro on his mountain bike and four other boys on foot arrive outside the Cunninghams' house. Anthony, wearing sunglasses, and Damien come out of the house and look at them. The other boys all wear sunglasses and Anthony walks over to them. One of the boys takes Anthony's school bag and he gets onto the back of the mountain bike. Damien locks the front door as Anthony is ridden away with his gang following on behind. Anthony is ridden into the school playground with his gang running beside the bike like bodyguards. Anthony gets off the bike, gives his rider some cash and goes into the school building. A teacher blows a whistle and the kids in the playground freeze. Anthony and his gang swagger down the school corridor like they own the place. Two of the boys open doors for Anthony and he walks through and takes his coat off. A schoolboy carries a meal covered by a white napkin into the school cafeteria. Other children queue up by a wall, but Anthony goes and sits at a table with three girls.
We don't have to queue up.
The schoolboy places the meal in front of Anthony.
Here we go.
It's a school dinner on a plastic plate.
How much have you actually got?
Plenty.
One of the girls pinches a chip from his plate. A middle-aged man in a suit and overcoat stands outside a posh apartment block. Anthony walks up to him.
Anthony Cunningham.
Where's your dad?
Dad? Well, he's not coming.
Hey?
Yeah, he's not coming yet. He said to start without him.
Start what without him? The job is to show him around the apartment. How can I do that if he isn't here?
He gave me this.
A camera.
Show me around and I'll film in afterwards.
It's what we usually do.
Inside the bare, stylish apartment, Anthony takes a photo.
We're looking at this fire investment portfolio, not as a residence. Has it kept its value?
It's gone up 20% in the last 2 years. It's the schools. He does send you to school, doesn't he?
Would you just look at photos of them?
In the school toilets, a boy shows Anthony his Sabutio set.
Floodlight, scoreboard, stadium. It's the dog's bollocks dish, family heirloom. 50 quid.
50 quid? I could buy a proper football team for that. I could buy True Alexander for that.
Yeah, but this has got managers. Don Revy and Malcolm Allison. Never heard of him. Deal.
In the corridor, the Sabutio boy holds out cash to some girls.
You said you would, for 5 quid.
I didn't know you were going to get 5 quid, did I?
10 quid then. Look, I've got a good body.
He takes off his top.
20 quid, last offer.
Damien looks unimpressed as he watches the negotiation. Damien walks down to the railway line and finds a group of African men tilling the soil around his den with rakes and hoes. Damien watches them through the gap in the fence for a moment. One of the men wears a red toga. He turns to lean on the fence and stares at Damien.
Martyrs of Uganda, 1881.
That's right.
They shake hands, the martyr's hands bloody.
Oh, sorry about that.
He wipes Damien's hand.
I was beheaded.
See? His neck scarred.
Before that, I was in construction. I don't know who built this, but they were a right cowboy.
I built it myself.
Oh, well, we'll see what we can do. But I can't promise anything.
Why not?
There's plenty of you.
Yes. Come on, welcome.
Damien crawls through one of the cardboard tunnels into his den. Inside, another of the Ugandan martyrs is hammering a nail into the floor.
Hello.
The martyr has a halo floating over his head and nods at Damien. Damien stands and looks down at him.
What are you singing?
The martyr looks through the flap in the side of the den. The other martyrs work outside.
They are praying for rain. Where I come from, people have to pay a tenth of their daily income on water. It's so expensive that they can't afford to wash their hands, so they get disease. You don't need fancy hospitals or medicines to make life better, just a well. And you can build a well for as little as £100.
That's fantastic! Thanks!
Some of the martyrs hold their hands up to the sky as they sing. Damien scrambles out and emerges onto the waste ground. He looks around to find the martyrs have all gone. On the ridge by the railway line stands an unshaven man wearing a leather jacket and black woolly hat.
I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
Neutral that, then.
The stranger stares at Damien.
It's yours.
Damien nods.
Nice.
The stranger has a knapsack over his shoulder.
Near the railway.
The stranger's in his late 30s. He slowly steps down from the ridge and walks around the den. Damien remains standing by the entrance to one of the tunnels.
What's in there?
Nothing really.
The stranger reaches through one of the den windows and pulls out a length of flowery fabric that's hung up like a curtain.
What's this?
Dress. It was my mum's.
The stranger looks at the fabric for a moment and smiles at Damien. He then turns and slowly walks towards one of the tunnels. Damien walks towards him.
What are you looking for?
The stranger peers through a tunnel, then turns to stare at Damien.
Money.
Are you poor?
What?
Damien, come in.
Anthony to Damien.
What's that?
My brother, I've got to go. I'll come back, I've got loads. Just wait there.
Loads of what?
Money. Just wait there.
Holding his walkie-talkie in his hand, Damien runs over to Anthony.
Who's that?
A poor person, and you said there weren't any.
I know, but who is it?
I don't know. Just someone.
What do you mean, someone? Did he do anything to you?
What sort of things?
Never mind. Look, people are weird. You've got to be more careful. You shouldn't really talk to them.
Anyway, I've told him now.
Told him what?
That we have tons of money. He's poor. What?
The scowling Anthony turns to look at the stranger who's walked back onto the ridge.
Nothing, nothing, leave it to me.
Anthony strides off. Damien looks bemused and turns to look at the stranger, then at the departing Anthony. Later, the boys return to the cardboard den.
Where is he then?
I don't know. He was here a minute ago.
Anthony and Damien crouch down to look through one of the cardboard tunnels. They come back out through the fence and see the stranger walking through the undergrowth towards them. Anthony smiles and holds up a large glass jar full of small change.
See? Loads of money. We've been saving it up for ages. You can have it if you need it.
He puts the jar down and they go.
Come on, Damien.
We'll have to change it quickly.
The boys run off and the stranger spits as he approaches the jar. He crouches down and scoops the jar up into his hand. He weighs it in his hand and spits again.
Do you think that was really enough?
More than enough. That's him completely sorted out. Right, have you given money to anyone else?
Not really.
Damien and Anthony walk through the estate. They look up to see the three Mormons cycling home. They each have several boxes strapped to the backs of their bicycles and are loaded down with a large number of brand new household items. Anthony turns to Damien with a frosty expression and shakes his head wearily. The boys carry on walking towards their house. Anthony's bedroom.
What?
Damien opens the door to find Anthony on his computer.
It wasn't that much. Just like a bag full.
Anthony turns back to his computer screen and Damien walks over to him.
What's that?
Scuba scooter. Goes at 10 miles an hour for up to 5 hours. We could have one of them. We could have one each. We could have a whole fleet.
She's nice.
I've seen better. Close the door.
Anthony clicks off the screen showing a bikini-clad model with a scuba scooter and calls up a screen of young women wearing lacy bras. He enlarges the image of one of the women.
Look, you can see it protruding.
What is it?
It's a nipple.
What's it for?
Well, it's for feeding babies.
Did Mum have one?
Two. They've all got two.
And did she feed us with them?
Yeah, of course she did. I remember.
You can't remember when you were a baby.
I don't remember her doing it to me. I remember her doing it to you.
Damien looks back at the screen.
Anthony!
Anthony leaves the room and Damien sits in front of the screen.
What?
Damien stares at the model and rests his head in his hand. Cubes slide onto the screen. On one side of each cube is a section of the school. The cubes form a long zigzag representation of the school. In the assembly hall, the children crowd around a remote-controlled bin on wheels. The bin scoots towards them, and its flip top opens and closes like a mouth.
Hello, what's your name?
Keegan.
All right, Kevin. What's happened to your finger?
That's quality. Pure scary.
Damien notices a young woman with long brown hair standing by a wall. She wears a combined microphone earpiece and discreetly works a joystick with her thumb. Later, the kids sit on the floor and she talks to them.
Who feels sorry for poor children? Correct answer. Everybody sitting up nicely? OK, so, as you know, we're going to have new money in the new year. Does anybody know how much a euro is worth in pounds? Yes.
67p.
Spot on. Here, it's a little prize for you. It's your own euro converter. Now, who else wants one? Anybody? Oh, everybody. OK, so, who can tell me how much 2 pence is worth in euros?
The school children think hard.
Well, I'll tell you. It's worth not very much, almost nothing, to you. But if we all put our 2 pences together, then we'll have a lot of 2 pences, won't we?
Yeah!
How many people are there here?
She looks at the kids.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8...
250.
Sorry?
There's 250 in the school.
Oh, clever clog's headmaster! OK, 250. So if you each gave me 2 pence, then I'd have £5. It's not that much here. But in Ethiopia, £5 could feed a family for a week. And if you all gave me two pences, then we'd have a tenner. And that's enough to provide that village with a source of clean water forever. It's no good to you, so chuck it in the bin.
The excited children scramble up onto their feet as the bin scoots towards them again. The headmaster watches with a smile as the kids drop their change into the bin. The bin comes to a stop in front of Damien. Nearby, the young woman holds her finger to her earpiece and speaks into the microphone.
Hello, what's your name?
Damien.
Hi, Damien. I'm the bin.
Hello, Ben.
Damien, you'll give me some money, won't you?
The young woman looks at Damien. Damien glances at her and she smiles as they make eye contact.
Yeah?
Damien takes a fat roll of cash out of his pocket and drops it into the bin. The woman mouths, thank you. More children crowd round the bin to drop in their change. Damien trots out of the hall and finds Anthony standing in the corridor.
What did you do? You did it again, didn't you?
Not.
I saw what you did. How much?
Not much. She's nice. I've been thinking, why don't we give the money to her?
So, how did it go?
Well...
The woman takes the lid off the bin.
1,000! What did you bring 1,000 to school for? Can't see that suspicious.
It's not suspicious. It's unusual. How can it be suspicious? It's our money.
Anthony grabs Damien and drags him down the corridor.
Right, that's enough mess around.
Do you know, in Africa, you can build a welfare total as £100.
Just listen.
Anthony's dragged Damien into the toilets, where a schoolboy wearing glasses sits on the floor. The boy kneels.
It was the most daring, most brilliant, cleverest and biggest robbery on record ever. The train was here.
He demonstrates with toys. The crime's played out.
The train, the one with the money. Use notes. Right. The van comes in onto the platform here. It's a railway van, so no one takes any notice. Until...
The red van speeds along the platform, smashing through barriers. Men wearing ski masks and Newcastle United football shirts leap out of the van and attack the security guards with baseball bats.
They jump out of this van and someone got hold of the driver. Some of them start shifting the money. By this time, rapid response has been mobilised.
The boy pushes a toy police car up next to his toy train. On the platform, a squad car skids to a halt and some robbers look out from inside the goods carriage. They all jump out of the train and race back to the van. One of the robbers holds a black sports bag. Police officers run to the van as it starts up and drives off. The officers double back to the squad car.
The van drives off with a reckless disregard for life. Rapid response goes after it. There's armed units, dog handlers, helicopters, they throw everything at me. The train stays here. An ambulance comes, takes the driver to hospital. They get another driver. CID count the bags. There's only one missing. Then, rapid response, corner the van.
The red van stops in a street and the robbers swarm out. They pull off their masks as the squad car skids to a halt and cops get out.
Trapped! The robbers drop the lot and they leg it. They've got no chance, except... Newcastle United versus Arsenal at Highbury. 1-1. Disappointing result for the Gunners.
Please advise, girl, I think we've lost them.
They don't catch the men, but that's all right. Because when they get back to the van...
Cops look in the van.
There's the missing bag.
How do you know all that? His uncle works for the police.
The van is gone. The train is in the station. And the cops are in the cop shop making tea. Where are the robbers?
The boy looks up at his audience.
Where's the last place you're gonna look? Our house.
Maybe.
So the train moves off with the new driver and all the money.
On the train. The money was on the train, and so was a robber.
Lateral thinking.
Pallets full of money are in the goods carriage of the train.
The money stays on the train, and so does a robber.
One of the robbers drops into the goods carriage through a hatch in the roof. He turns on the lights, slices open the polythene which covers the money, and fills several lightweight black sports bags with bundles of cash. He pulls up a sliding metal shutter on the side of the goods carriage and looks out at the passing countryside. The train goes over a bridge.
He sits tight, and every time the train comes to a slow bend, he chucks a sack of money out. They've got people waiting all over the country. It could be Stafford or Crewe. It could be Preston or Wigan. Runcorn it could be.
The robber stands in the doorway of the goods carriage as the train thunders through the countryside. It passes the waste ground where Damien has his den. The robber hurls another sports bag out of the train. It bounces across the waste ground, kicking up a cloud of dust every time it hits the ground. Damien looks out through the flap in the side of the den as the bag spins through the air and lands on the roof. Damien forces his way out of the crumpled den and looks at the bulging sports bag. The cash flutters in the wind. The screen turns red. Damien storms out of the toilet with Anthony behind him.
Damien! Damien, calm down! You'll be all right. No one knows it was us.
I don't care. Leave me alone.
Because I wanted just to know the truth.
We have to give it back.
No, no, we can't do that. They were going to burn it. Now, come on, it isn't the money's fault it got stolen.
I thought it was from God.
What?
Well, you know, sometimes you tell people about Mum and they give you money or sweets. Well, I told God and... Well, who else would have that kind of money?
Well, in a funny...
God doesn't rob banks, all right? God does not rob banks.
The headmaster storms into the corridor and looks at the boys with a stern expression.
Office! Now! Your father's on his way.
Mr. Cunningham strides into the school, passing the young woman with the bin who sits in a corridor. He knocks on an office door.
Come in.
Mr. Cunningham, Damien and Anthony are in the headmaster's office.
The Mormons?
The young woman listens.
You stole money from Mormons?
Would you like to tell us why you did it, Anthony?
Anthony looks at his father, sitting tensely on the edge of his seat. Anthony's face crumples and he flops forward.
Oh, Mum's dead.
The headmaster licks his lips awkwardly. Mr. Cunningham sits back and puts his hand to his mouth. Anthony and Damien come out of the school, followed by their dad.
Hey, Anthony, come here. Oh, Anthony, Damien, come here.
The boys go over to him.
OK. Team talk.
He gathers his thoughts.
Your mother. She would not want you to stand around crying or to steal things. She wants you to get on with your lives and do the best you can.
Make her proud, son, eh?
Anthony nods.
And not, you know, cry.
Anthony wipes his eyes and his dad smiles through pursed lips.
OK. So let's stop crying, eh? And stealing things, let's stop that too. Get in the car.
The boys go and get into the car, Anthony in the front and Damien in the back. Anthony turns round angrily to Damien.
Don't ever do that to me again.
Look, I'm really sorry, it was me. He said I didn't mean to cause any trouble or anything.
No, you did right. They stole it. What can you do?
They did give it to a good cause. I would have done that at their age. They must be... You did a good job.
She smiles at Damien.
Thanks.
The young woman puts the remote-controlled bin into the back of a white van.
Are you from the social?
No. I'm just a visitor. I go around the schools collecting for this water thing and trying to tell them about the changeover, you know, making sure that the kids understand it.
Does anyone understand it?
Sometimes they're a bit confused, until I talk to them. And then...
They're really confused.
Mr. Cunningham and the community policeman are in the Mormon's house.
I'm sorry. They're very sorry. I've sent them to bed. I want you to know that it won't happen again.
Do you mind me asking how you came to have so much cash in the house?
It was a donation. It was left here anonymously.
And you weren't suspicious about that?
No, we pray a lot, and we thought it was the answer to our prayers.
Only it has been mentioned that you spent close to £5,000 in Comet a few days ago. Digital television? Microwave oven? Dishwasher? Foot spa? Did you actually pray for all of these things?
We were praying for comfort and encouragement. I think we felt comforted and encouraged.
By the foot spa?
And the dishwasher.
Damien's in his bedroom putting cash into envelopes.
Samaritans.
A bearded man in a white habit comes in.
For Christ's sake, don't take them little boxes. The ones about putting you in touch with like-minded organisations. You'd be besieged, man. I'm telling you.
St. Peter died AD 64.
All right, don't remind us.
The money. It's robbed.
I know. Patron saint of keys, locks and general security, man. Including up there. I'm on the door.
Is it still all right? If it's robbed, can you still do good with it? Or should you give it back? I thought it was a miracle, but it's just robbed.
Damien, listen. One day I was with you-know-who, Jesus, and he went up into the mountains and thousands of people followed him. The police said 5,000. 5,000.
Everybody knows this story. Loaves and fishes.
See, I knew you'd say that. That's what everybody says.
Damien changes into his pyjamas and St. Peter picks up a large key from the bedside table.
This yours?
It's the key to the old house.
Joined at Penn Tumbler. Engineering perfection. Anyway, this kid comes up to us, about your size. His name was... No, I forgot. I still see him sometimes. Anyway, he comes up with these loaves and fishes, sardines. And Jesus blesses them and passes the plate round. Now, the first person he passes it to passes it on. He doesn't take anything, he just passes it on. Do you know why? Because he had a piece of lamb hidden in his pocket. And as he's passing the fish, he sneaks a bit of meat out and pretends he's taking it off the plate. Do you see what I'm saying? And the next person, exactly the same story. Every single bastard one of them has their own food. And every one of them's keeping it quiet, looking after number one. But as that plate went round with the sardines on, they all got their own food out and started to share. And that plate went all the way round and back to Jesus, and it still got the fish and the loaves on it.
Damien brushes his teeth.
And Jesus was a bit taken aback. He says, what happened? And I just said, miracle. And at first, I thought I'd fooled him.
Damien pops back into the bathroom.
But now I see it was a miracle. One of his best. But this little kid had stood up and everybody there just got bigger.
St. Peter swings his arm around as though throwing a frisbee.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Not really.
Damien gets into bed.
I'm talking about you.
No, I'm really lost.
You're trying too hard. That kid, he wasn't planning on doing a miracle. He wasn't planning anything, except lunch. Something that looks like a miracle turns out to be dead simple.
But what am I going to do with all this?
They glance at the cash.
I just want to be good.
Look, I can't say too much about this because of that whole free will thing, right?
St. Peter leans over and takes the large key from the bedside table again.
See this key? Keep it safe. All right?
A golden halo floats above St. Peter's head. Damien snuggles down in bed.
And I'll have a word upstairs.
Damien drifts off to sleep.
See if I can get somebody on your case more permanent.
Leslie Phillips and the young blonde woman are in their sleigh.
With 3 days left to E-Day, my true love said to me,
convert your change or donate to charity.
Marvellous.
There are just 3 days left to E-Day.
Remember, the money in your bank account has already been converted. The easiest way to change any cash you have is to pay it into your account. When sterling becomes euros the moment it's paid in. And if you don't have an account, why not open one today?
Can I help you at all?
We'd like to open a bank account.
Is your mum and dad with you?
No.
Well, I need an adult signature. I need proof of who you are.
Oh, I thought of that.
Leisure pass.
He hands over a child's leisure pass.
I'm afraid you're going to have to ask your mum to come in. This isn't enough. Just ask your mum to come in.
We can't.
Why not?
Anthony looks mournful.
Our mum's dead.
The bank teller looks at Anthony and Damien, then turns to a shelf behind her. She picks up a money box in the rounded E shape of the euro symbol and gives it to them.
There's 2 free euros in here. And you can keep the rest of your money in it. It's the best I can do.
Anthony gives the money box to Damien. They come out of the bank, carrying the bulging sports bag.
I told you we should have bought a house. Right, if we can't hide it, at least we can spend it.
Anthony and Damien sit beside each other on a hillside. They've each got an expensive mobile video phone.
Hello? Well, that is quality. That is
amazing. I can see you. Can you see me?
Yeah. Not here, on there.
Not as well.
I can see you in mine. This is fantastic.
Anthony,
why don't we give the money to the lady with the bin? It's not ours, and we're never going to spend it all.
She could do good with it. We just gave her $1,000, and look at the trouble it caused. And if we gave her $200, we'll end up in jail. We're on our own now, Damien. Don't let me down.
It's evening as Damien and Anthony return home. They come into the hallway and see the radio-controlled bin sitting under the stairs. The young woman, Dorothy, is drying her hands on a tea towel as she pops her head out of the kitchen.
Hello. The speaker went on my bin. Your dad said he'd fix it, so I said I'd cook for him. So you get a decent meal for once.
I'm a fantastic cook. Aren't I a fantastic cook, Damien?
The size of that school bag. But give yourselves hernia. Is that all homework?
No. Yeah.
They look at each other.
Costumes for the nativity play. I suppose it is homework, really.
Oh, I love a nativity play. Can I see them?
Yeah.
No. It's private. Private property of the school. It'll spoil a surprise.
Am I going to go too?
You're going to get me some tickets?
Well, I suppose so.
Well, I didn't even know they were in it. I get told nothing, you know. Nothing.
She goes back into the kitchen.
Are you going to come do some chopping?
It's lasagna, your favourite.
Anthony looks frosty as Damien goes into the kitchen. Later, they're all watching TV.
Where was the highwayman Dick Turpin hanged in 1739? It's worth £250,000.
How did you know that?
It's York.
Glasgow. Carlisle.
He knows everything, your dad.
Norwich.
Why don't you go on there? York. He'd be great, wouldn't he? He'd be great.
50-50,
please. It's York!
OK, computer, take
You'd
away two
You'd be a lot less frustrated if you went on yourself, Damien. Right, tell him to go on. You'd like to have £1 million, wouldn't you? It's not £1 million. It's €1 million. That's only about...
Not York.
£623,100 at today's prices.
At least somebody's
been
listening.
You just lost 93...
Told you it was York.
Jim, I'm so sorry. The answer is York.
Anthony turns the TV off.
We're supposed to go to bed when this is finished.
Yeah, all right, go to bed.
You're supposed to read us a story.
Dorothy looks awkward.
I'll get off.
I'll see you out.
I'll see you out, sir.
Mr Cunningham stands, as does Damien. Mr Cunningham opens the front door and follows Dorothy out to her van. Damien waits in the doorway of the house and watches them.
Come again soon.
Sucker for women.
Sucker for men.
She kisses Mr Cunningham and smiles at Damien.
Don't forget, I want to see that nativity play. Your dad'll forget.
Go and get your pyjamas on. We're good lads. Nice to have someone to talk to once in a while, though.
Yeah. Thanks. Had a great one.
I know what she's up. We can't leave it here. We're going to have to keep it with us. All the time.
Fill your school bag. Don't let it out your sight. Guard it with your life, whatever happens, OK?
OK.
Damien?
A nativity rehearsal.
Have you any room?
Have you any room?
No, Damien. Damien, he's tired. He's walked here all the way from Nazareth. He's tired. He's very, very tired.
Well...
Tired.
The walk from Nazareth, people did that all the time. And he was a carpenter, so he was very fit. He wasn't tired, he was excited. His wife was going to have a baby. They weren't expecting to go
okay.
to sleep.
You say excited. I say tired. Let's try nervous. OK? Shall we start again?
The director sits back as Damien pushes a donkey on wheels round to the back of the set. A man in his late 30s with dark, shoulder-length hair and a beard stands behind the set. He wears a simple brown smock and holds a staff. A halo floats over his head as he smiles down at the wide-eyed Damien.
Joseph the Worker, 1st century, dates uncertain.
I wouldn't have said nervous. I would have said focused.
Damien nods and Joseph gives him a knowing nod back. Damien turns the prop donkey round and walks back onto the stage. Joseph holds his staff to his chin and listens.
Well, have you any room?
It's the night of the nativity play.
What did you want to bring her for?
You invited her.
Anthony and Damien peer through the curtain at Dorothy, who's arrived with their dad.
Beginners, beginners' positions. Damien, come on.
Although dressed in their nativity costumes, Damien and Anthony both carry their school bags over their shoulders. A door opens in the set, and the lad with the afro steps on stage.
The Wormwood Tower from Julius Caesar! Caesar Augustus! And everybody had to go to their hometown to be taxed! So Mary and Joseph...
The girl playing Mary sits on the donkey, and Damien, wearing a false beard, pushes it up the aisle. Mr Cunningham smiles and Dorothy takes a photo. Anthony is dressed as a wise man. He confers with the other two wise men.
Do you know how much a piece of gold that big would be worth at today's prices? A lot, an awful lot. I wonder what happened to it, because he was poor after that. I wonder what he spent it on.
Can we please lose the anachronistic bag? I don't think we had Adidas in the 1st century.
The director pulls off Anthony's bag. Damien quickly picks it up.
Thanks, girls.
Look, a star!
Let's follow it.
A star hangs from a bamboo cane, which is held up by a girl dressed as an angel. She walks backwards and the wise men follow the star. Girls dressed as angels stand around a model cow and sing. Computer screens are on in a dark classroom. They all have the words All Saints School scrolling across a blue background. The stranger from the railway lines in the classroom and listens as Damien and Joseph walk down a corridor.
I don't think I've heard of her. Is she a Virgin Martyr?
I don't think so.
Damien gasps when he sees the stranger staring at him. Damien looks around, but Joseph's gone.
Here he is. And he's always got those bags with him.
The stranger walks up to Damien with an unpleasant smile.
Remember me? Hmm? I'm the poor man.
The director and the girls dressed as angels come into the corridor.
Damien Cunningham, what are you doing there? Come, where should you be? Where should you be? You should be in Bethlehem. Come on.
The stranger hides around the corner as the director leads Damien off.
And these? What have I told you about these?
The director takes Damien and Anthony's bags and puts them on top of some cabinets. On stage...
They tried first at one inn.
The door opens.
Do you have any room at this inn?
No, sorry, we're fully booked.
Do you have any room at this inn?
We haven't any room, but we've got a stable.
Alone in the corridor, the stranger grabs Damien and Anthony's bags. He unzips them and yanks out handfuls of straw, which he throws down angrily. Back on the stage...
Oh, this is nice and cosy, Joseph.
The stranger barges off through a door.
Oh, nice and cosy, Joseph.
He peeps through a curtain and watches the stage.
I said, this is nice and cosy, Joseph.
Damien! Damien!
Kneeling, St. Joseph fills in for Damien.
Yes. This is where our Lord baby Jesus will be born.
The audience frowns.
And so our Saviour came, bringing peace to all the earth.
Damien's dad and Dorothy exchange confused glances. The stranger heads off.
Quick, come on.
Damien pushes the donkey along the road outside the school. The word welcome has been written above the school entrance in fairy lights. Damien stops pushing the donkey and looks up. Clouds pass across a huge bright star which glows down on him. Damien stares up at the star, then presses on, pulling the donkey behind him. The stranger runs out of the school and looks around the dark streets. A bus drives past with Damien sitting on the front row of the top deck. Both he and the donkey are still brightly lit by a small pool of light from the star. The stranger watches the bus with a mean expression, then starts to walk. The small pool of light from the star seems to be focused on Damien and nothing else. Damien gets off the bus at his old street. The bus drives away and Damien looks up at the star, which continues beaming down on him. Damien pushes the donkey up the road towards his old house. The pool of light from the star follows him like a spotlight. Damien unlocks the front door, pushes it open and stands on the doorstep as he looks into the bare hallway. He carries a set of sacking saddlebags over his shoulder and glances round at the donkey as he steps inside and shuts the door.
You stay there.
The prop donkey stands out in the street as Damien locks the front door and leaves the key in the keyhole. Damien slowly walks along the empty hallway towards the staircase. Bars of yellow light are thrown across the hallway wall from the open living room door. Damien pauses for a moment at the bottom of the stairs, then climbs them. The bright star continues shining in the black sky as fast-moving clouds pass across it. The silhouette of the donkey's head is visible through the frosted glass of the front door. Damien reaches the landing and looks up. He drops the saddlebags and picks up a wooden pole with a hook on the end. He reaches up with the pole and hooks it onto a collapsible ladder in the attic. He pulls at the ladder, which drops out of the attic, extending itself as it falls. Damien picks up the saddlebags and climbs up the ladder into the gloomy attic. He drops the saddlebags into the empty attic and climbs back down the ladder again. Damien looks downstairs, then flattens himself against a wall.
Oh no, the keys!
A large hand is suddenly thrust through the letterbox and tries to feel around. Damien feels in his pockets as the hand reaches round to the keyhole and finds the key. Damien quickly climbs back up the ladder and hauls on the rope, which pulls the ladder back into the attic as the hand yanks the key out of the keyhole. The front door swings open and Damien tries to sit quietly in a shadowy corner of the attic. He leans forward and peeps through a gap, which gives him a view of the landing. A figure is slowly climbing up the stairs. The figure reaches the top, then paces across the landing. Damien watches, then quickly leans back away from the gap. He sits still and pants nervously. A blue light suddenly glows in his coat pocket.
No.
Damien yanks out his phone and cancels the call. He pulls the saddlebags close to him as the ladder is pulled back down. Damien pants nervously as the figure climbs the ladder and a head approaches through the hatch. Ah!
Damien, what are you doing?
Dad!
Come here.
Oh, Damien hugs his dad.
Come here, it's all right. Let's get you down. What are you doing?
Is he all right, Dad?
There we go.
What's he doing?
Good lad.
Downstairs, Mr. Cunningham drops the saddlebags onto the bare floorboards. Some wads of cash spill out and he and the boys crouch down.
Well, we found it.
It just fell out of the sky, right in front of me. I thought it was from God.
From God? It's not really his thing, is it, handing out cash? Why would God hand out...
He tries to guess.
£229,320.
Mr. Cunningham looks back down at the money and raises his eyebrows.
Blimey.
I was going to give it to the poor, but it was really hard.
Mr. Cunningham looks at Damien thoughtfully.
Why didn't you tell me?
Anthony said not to, because of the tax.
Mr. Cunningham puts the money in the car.
We could keep some of it, though, couldn't we? Like a reward.
Get in.
Oh. So what are we going to do with it, then?
We're going to hand it in. All of it. What else can we do? It's not ours, is it?
Small illuminated Santas decorate one of the houses on the estate as Mr. Cunningham's red Volkswagen drives past and swings into the front drive of Serendipity. Mr. Cunningham steps up to the front door and is about to slide his key into the keyhole when he stops uneasily. He gives the door a little push and it swings open, bathing his face with light from inside. Mr. Cunningham and the boys step into the living room. The window pane's been cracked by some impact and the window is open. The living room has been ransacked. The Christmas tree's been knocked over and toys and decorations are strewn across the floor. Mr. Cunningham rubs his hand across his mouth, while upstairs, Dorothy leans down from the landing.
Hello?
She comes down.
I called round, the door was open. I've called the police. I thought he might have come home.
The dazed Mr. Cunningham looks around and Damien sadly walks around the chaos. Dorothy picks a fabric snowman decoration up off the floor, a model car and an Eric Cartman toy lying on the floor behind her. Mr. Cunningham sits stunned on the sofa and Damien gives him a hug.
Everyone gets burgled at Christmas, Dad.
The policeman.
This will be your crime number, so you can get onto your insurance company. Of course, they can't really recompense you for this. I mean, they can't give you your Christmas back, can they? Probably be next Christmas by the time you get anything back. I don't suppose you've got any serial numbers, security codes, anything like that? No? Wouldn't make any difference. It's very rare we get anything back. Very rare.
Mr. Cunningham sits thoughtfully at the foot of the stairs.
We know the stolen currency is around here somewhere. That's what all this is about. But they can't do anything about it. All the banks have been warned to look out for anyone making any large deposits. And of course, it's only one day or two before they realise that the money is worthless.
Damien sits a couple of steps behind his dad, who turns round to glance at him, then stares intently ahead. Mr. Cunningham stares into space for a moment, then stands with a purposeful expression and strides outside to his golf estate. He opens the back door of the car and picks up the saddlebags. Mr. Cunningham turns and spots the community policeman, who stands on a corner and cranes his neck to look at Mr. Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham smiles at the policeman, then goes inside with the bags of money. He passes Dorothy at the front door and she follows him into the kitchen.
What's that?
It's nothing, it's just my stuff.
Oh, Dad, don't!
Oh, my God!
Mr. Cunningham empties the mountain of cash onto the kitchen table and throws the saddlebags onto the floor.
This is what they were after.
A lot of money. Where did it come from?
They took our Christmas. We'll take their cash.
You can't keep it.
You're going to keep it?
It belongs to the government.
They were going to burn it. They were going to burn all this money. That's a crime if you ask me.
Definitely.
But stealing's wrong.
If you steal something, you have to steal it from somebody. Who would we be stealing it from?
It's not right.
Damien, my house has just been ransacked. I work every second God sends just to cover the mortgage to give you a decent home. And now it's been wrecked. I am owed this.
But
go to bed. Now.
Damien and Anthony slowly trudge out of the kitchen, leaving Mr. Cunningham staring at the money. He leans on the table and lowers his head with an overawed sigh as Dorothy watches him. Her eyes flit nervously back to the cash. Damien lies in bed in his darkened room, staring into space. The door opens and Mr. Cunningham comes in. He walks to the bed and looks down at Damien, who continues facing away. Mr. Cunningham sits on the bed.
Do you want a story?
It's wrong.
Who says?
God.
Yeah, well.
Damien turns to look at him.
Yeah, well, what? Don't you want to go to heaven?
Look around you, Damien. We're on our own. No one is smiling down on us, Damien. No one is looking out for us. So we're looking out for ourselves.
But Mum...
is dead.
Mr. Cunningham leans closer.
She's dead, Damien. You'll never see her again. And neither will I.
Damien throws himself back over onto his side. Mr. Cunningham talks to the back of Damien's head.
And the money is ours. We'll take it to town tomorrow and change it and spend it. Do you hear me? All of it. Because it's ours.
Mr. Cunningham stands and walks out of the bedroom, shutting the door behind him. Damien continues staring blankly into space. A noise causes him to look round and he focuses on the attic trapdoor in his bedroom ceiling. The trapdoor is pulled open from inside the attic and a large male hand grips onto the edge of the hatch. A man drops out of the attic and stalks over to Damien's bed. Damien gasps as the stranger looms over him with his finger to his lips. The stranger slowly points at Damien.
I know you've got it. It's mine.
Damien nods, terrified.
And you're going to change it tomorrow. And that's a good thing. Okay.
The stranger takes Damien's mobile phone from his bedside table and flips it open. He presses some numbers on the keypad.
When you come back...
He shuts the phone and lays it on Damien's chest.
I'm going to call you on this phone. Open the front door. Let me in. I will take the money. And you won't have to worry about it anymore.
The stranger's face crumples as though holding back emotion.
Understand?
Damien nods. Yellow bars of light from the window are thrown onto the ceiling as the burly, unshaven stranger stands and puts on his small black woolly hat. Damien tenses nervously as the stranger leans back down to him with an unpleasant smile. He watches Damien for a moment, then turns and strides away.
Make sure your phone's switched on.
In a multi-story car park, Mr. Cunningham, Damien, Anthony and Dorothy drag large bags and cases out of the Volkswagen.
You take one side and we'll take the other and then swap.
All right.
Okay, change what you can, what you can't change, spend. Have a ball!
Damien and Dorothy head off.
You do realise you just kissed goodbye to the money?
Come on, let's get cracking.
She's going to run off with it. You must know that.
Come on!
How can she? She's got Damien.
She'll kidnap him, hold him to ransom for the rest of the money.
No, Anthony, that's what you do. Come on.
Dorothy drags a shopping bag on wheels towards a large business-like building. Damien runs behind her with two bags across his shoulders. They walk along a street and stop outside a bank.
Okay, you wait here, all right?
Dorothy goes in and Damien waits. Two large metal doors with metal lion's heads on them suddenly slam shut behind him.
It's mine.
Damien turns and looks at the doors. Anthony and his dad come into another bank, which is swarming with people.
We'll have to change more than this.
No!
What?
That's the whole point. Do it in small amounts and no one will be suspicious.
Look at the queue, look at the time. We'll be lucky to get round three banks at this rate.
You'll be lucky to stay out of jail.
What?
Dorothy's with a teller in another bank.
It's just quite a lot on the circumstances.
It's 5,000 quid. It's the front half of a Ford Fiesta. Is this a bank or a sweet shop?
Damien comes to the teller's window and tugs Dorothy's arm.
What?
I need a wee.
Tell her that. Come here, use your loo.
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not queuing up again. The poor kid's been in here half an hour. You must have a loo. What to do when you need to go?
The teller's about 30 with short brown hair. She glances at Damien, then looks at Dorothy, who stares back, her mouth open in anticipation.
OK, just this once.
The teller takes their money. Outside, Dorothy and Damien turn off the main street onto a quieter alleyway.
We'll have to go here.
I don't really need one.
Dorothy looks at him and smiles.
Little belt.
Dorothy's at the window of another bank.
I just can't see why it's so difficult.
I need a way.
Damien pops up again.
It's at the front half of a Ford Fiesta, as far as I'm concerned.
I need a way.
Dorothy's had to give Damien a gentle kick to remind him to interrupt. In another bank, the teller shakes his head, but then relents on seeing Damien desperately jigging about. A public information film's projected onto the side of a modern building.
Today's the day that Britain enters a new currency era. You must spend or bank any remaining old money today. It's now or never, use it or lose it. At midnight tonight, it's euros only for British business.
Well, you say so, Dad, what was your name?
Anthony tugs his dad's arm.
Got an idea. Dollars.
Change it into dollars now and change it into euros. Whenever, actually, once all the excitement's over, the euro will most likely drop in value, so we'll probably get a better exchange rate this way too.
They walk into a foreign exchange bureau. It's almost deserted. Mr. Cunningham looks at Anthony.
What?
Where did I get you?
Dorothy and Damien head towards a large department store.
They've got a bank in there. It stays open late.
You know everything you do, don't you?
Yeah.
They enter the very white and clinical cosmetics department. Damien freezes.
What's wrong?
Dorothy glances around, then looks down at Damien.
How did you know about the bank? Is this where your mum worked? In here?
Damien nods and Dorothy puts a hand on his shoulder.
Well, stay there then. You'll be all right. I'll come straight back for you. I'll do this one, okay?
Damien nods and Dorothy walks off down one of the aisles, pulling her shopping bag on wheels behind her. A sales assistant in a white nurses-style uniform walks through the spotless department. Damien watches her as a dark figure steps up behind him and places a large hand on his shoulder.
Don't look.
Damien freezes and stares straight ahead, then glances across at the hand resting by his neck.
This is where your mum used to work.
The stranger behind Damien gazes across the department.
Nice.
He lowers his steely gaze down onto Damien.
Let's go move on, eh?
Damien is still paralysed with fear and blinks.
Go on.
The stranger pushes Damien forward and watches him with his head cocked oddly to one side. Damien walks down an aisle stacked with shelves of cosmetics products and looks around at the large, eerily sterile room. He glances to and fro past the various makeup displays as he walks on down another aisle. Damien comes to the end of the aisle and looks around the department. His breath comes in short, nervous gasps.
Damien, what are you doing?
He turns to see Dorothy.
Hey, what's up?
Damien stares at her and swallows hard.
Did you think I'd run off and left you?
He nods.
Did you? Well, I didn't, did I?
No, you didn't.
She grins.
The bank's upstairs.
It's closed. I've had a much better idea. Come on, let's go and stuff our faces.
It's evening as Mr. Cunningham opens the garage at his house. Dorothy pulls into the garage in a large black van, while Anthony unloads shopping bags from the Volkswagen. In the house, Mr. Cunningham pops a bottle of champagne and jumps with a shock. Dorothy and the boys laugh.
Oh, can I have my eye out?
Another glasses.
Damien wants to give his to the poor.
Do you?
He nods.
Of course I won't be poor anymore once you've given it to them. What'll you do then? Take it back?
Speaking of which...
Right, mystery activity. Champagne. Follow me.
Mr. Cunningham strolls out of the kitchen carrying a plastic bag of sterling. Dorothy follows him and Anthony leaves the table. Once alone, Damien opens his mobile phone. The screen says no new messages.
Woman opens a door and her knife me, and I thought, funny place to keep a door.
Anthony's in Damien's room.
This is your fault, this.
What is?
You don't even know, do you? You brought her and you don't even know.
What's he on about?
Can you hear him laughing? Even he's laughing. Listen.
Dorothy swigs champagne as she and Mr. Cunningham decorate a wall with cash.
Once she's got what she came for, she'll piss off again. Then he won't be laughing, will he? They'll start again, like when Mam died. He'll be angry.
Maybe she, you know, she won't, she'll stay.
Oh, great. Much better. Is that what you want? Her in there with him instead of Mam.
Why are you angry with me?
Because you did it. You and your weird stuff. Chucking money away. Talking to yourself. Seeing things.
I don't. I mean, maybe I do, but...
And me, sticking up for you. For what? The truth is, you're a loony.
Don't say that, Anthony. Please don't say that.
You're just a loony and you should be locked up.
Anthony shoves Damien away and storms into his own room. Damien stares at Anthony's room, then shuts his bedroom door. Damien lies in bed in his darkened room. His mobile phone vibrates and lights up blue and he opens it up.
Be at the front door with the money in 10 minutes.
Damien slowly takes the mobile phone from his ear. He looks at the screen for a moment, then closes the phone up. Damien, wearing pyjama bottoms and a blue and yellow stripy t-shirt, steps out of his bedroom and pads across the darkened landing. He walks past the prop donkey and comes to Mr. Cunningham's bedroom door. He listens for a moment, then gently opens the door. Mr. Cunningham's bedroom is bathed in a soft amber glow. Damien takes a step inside and looks down at the black sports bag full of money, which lies on the floor near his feet. His gaze drifts up to his father's bed. The bare-chested Mr. Cunningham lies sleeping on his back. Dorothy's also asleep. She lies half on top of him with her arms wrapped around him. As Damien stares, Mr. Cunningham's eyes flicker open. He glances across at Damien, then suddenly sits bolt upright.
Damien, we were, I was just...
Damien stares at his father, then walks backwards out of the room. Mr. Cunningham and Dorothy look at each other and Dorothy flops back onto the bed. Mr. Cunningham gets out of bed and pulls on his trousers, while Damien looks down towards the front door. Outside, a male finger presses the doorbell again as Mr. Cunningham comes out onto the landing.
Dad, don't answer it! Dad, don't!
Damien's dad opens the door.
Please. See these little girls? My girls. These are the girls that Santa Claus forgot. You're our last hope. We haven't even got our bus fare home because there's no point going back if you don't help us. He'll chuck us out.
Who is it?
Excuse me. Hedgehogs like these need your help.
50% of families with a chronically ill child break up.
You may be asking yourself, why does Waterloo Station need friends? Well, let me explain.
This is the middle of the night. This is a private house. Who are you? Will you get out, please? Do you mind just leaving? Go on, you and your hedgehogs, get out.
€2 a month. I mean, it's absolutely nothing.
Would you be prepared to not even direct debit?
My brother had chronic feel. Come on, it's really...
Other residents look on in amazement. Mr. Cunningham glares at them. Damien runs back upstairs. Outside the house, the queue of charity cases stretches all the way down the road, with more running over to join it. The stranger walks up the road and gapes at the swarms of people outside Serendipity. He quickens his pace and runs off. Anthony runs upstairs and peeps into Damien's bedroom.
Damien? Damien?
Damien carries the bulky bag of money out of the estate. He looks back at the hordes of people and the Christmas lights, then presses on. Two police cars pull up outside Serendipity as a woman with glasses shows a photo to Mr. Cunningham.
It's the same donkey as he looks after just a few months in our sanctuary. I think you'll agree.
All right, love, put him down, shall we?
The community policeman steps between them and follows Mr. Cunningham into the house. Three flags wave mournfully outside the estate as Damien struggles to carry the sports bag through the long grass of the waste ground. Mr. Cunningham's in his living room with the community policeman.
You better tell me how this started.
I have no idea. Someone must have said something strange.
Digital?
The TV.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How do you find it? I'm yet to be convinced.
Well, you can come and have a look when you get rid of that lot.
One step at a time, eh? Any chance of a bit of toast? You do that, I'll have a look around.
Dorothy looks nervously at Mr. Cunningham as the policeman runs upstairs. The policeman passes Anthony's bedroom.
Evening, lad.
Anthony jumps up and pulls on a red jogging top as the policeman opens Mr. Cunningham's bedroom door and glances inside. He closes the door, then opens it again with a frown and looks around the room. On the waste ground, Damien struggles with the hefty bag of money as he drags it up the ridge towards the railway line. Back at the house, Anthony comes into the kitchen as a hand slowly opens the back door from outside. With a puzzled expression, Anthony walks up to the open back door. The burly stranger suddenly appears in the doorframe and slowly points at Anthony.
You.
The stranger suddenly strides into the kitchen and grabs Anthony.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Huh? Where is he?
Upstairs.
The stranger lets Anthony go and marches out of the kitchen. Overwrought and close to tears, Anthony paces down the hallway and heads out of the front door. A tall figure with long hair and a halo and carrying a staff comes in through the open front door and closes it behind him. Damien heaves the bulky sports bag onto the railway line. The stranger comes to Mr. Cunningham's open bedroom door. He looks inside and gapes. Banknotes have been pasted to one of the walls, spelling the words Merry Xmas in large letters. On the railway line, Damien unzips the sports bag and empties the wads of cash onto the track. The stranger stands facing the bedroom wall and stares agog at the greeting written in money. The community policeman walks up behind him.
Peaceful, isn't it? Who are you?
The stranger seems dazed.
Who am I?
Damien lights a match. The stranger turns to the policeman.
Who are you? We're the police.
Another policeman wearing a fluorescent yellow jacket comes in holding a mug and a plate of toast. The long-haired figure with the halo walks past the door, pulling the prop donkey behind him. The donkey now also has a halo. Damien drops his match onto the pile of cash, and the money starts to burn. He steps back, and clouds quickly pass across the dark night sky. The fire suddenly takes a firm hold of the money, and the whole pile bursts into flames. Damien stands and looks down at the fierce fire. He suddenly looks up and jumps off the line as a train thunders past. Through the gaps between carriages, a figure can be seen sitting on a wooden beam on the other side of the track. The train passes and Damien stares at the figure, a red-haired woman of around 40 who smiles back at him.
Oh!
Damien walks towards her.
I know you're only a dream, but I don't care. It's nice to see you, even if you're just a
dream. She smiles back
warmly. The money just makes everything worse. I've got something for you.
From Reader's Digest. Here.
He reaches in his pocket and holds out the letter.
You may have already won £10,000.
She gazes at him.
Please, will you talk to me?
Damien's mum glances down.
5 minutes, okay?
She taps the space beside her on the beam and Damien sits down.
Now, don't interrupt. I'm dead. I know what I'm talking about, okay? You need to use conditioner on your hair. Your dad won't think of that, but it makes all the difference.
Damien looks away.
Me. You are not to worry about me. You have been worrying about me, haven't you?
He nods.
I'm fine. Anthony. He seems to have taken it better than you. But he hasn't. He's got a good heart. He just doesn't know where it is.
Damien!
He's going to need you. Be good to him.
Dad doesn't believe.
Doesn't believe what?
Any of it. Anything. He mustn't do. Or he wouldn't. Couldn't you talk to him?
He can't see me.
Oh. Is it because of the money?
In a way. The money makes it harder to see what's what. You know that already.
Damien stands and drops the Reader's Digest letter onto the still-burning pile of money.
Never really win with those things, anyway. You just end up with books about the building of the American railways.
Charred fragments of money float through the night air.
It's her, isn't it?
He nods.
Your dad and her.
Damien stares at the fire.
Damien.
Damien turns to his mum and sits back down beside her.
You know how complicated the money was? Well, people are even more complicated. You need to remember that there's nearly always enough good around to be going on with. You've just got to have a bit of faith, you know. If you've got faith in people, that makes them stronger. And you, you've got enough to sort all three of you out. Hey, that's why I'm counting on you.
I've been worried about you. I've just been missing you.
That's allowed.
He looks above her head.
Are you really a saint?
Well, The criteria is very strict. It's not just a case of doing good and all that. You do have to do an actual miracle.
So,
I'm in there. Of course I am.
What was your miracle?
Don't you know?
She smiles.
It was you.
Damien's mum gently kisses him on the forehead, then leans back to look at him. Damien stands and trudges off alongside the railway track. His mum stands and calls after him.
Hey!
He turns.
Aren't you going to say goodbye?
Damien looks at his mum for a moment, then runs back to her. His mum throws open her arms and they hug each other tightly.
Bye.
Damien's mum kisses him on top of the head. She rests her cheek against his hair and smiles contentedly. Anthony clambers up the ridge beside the railway line. He looks down at the track and sees Damien and his mother embracing as another train hammers past them. When the train passes, their mum has gone. Damien glances around, then looks up at the sky. Fast-moving clouds pass across a large, bright star which beams down on him. Damien steps back and climbs up the ridge to Anthony, who hasn't moved.
Did you see her?
He nods.
What did she say?
She said to tell you not to worry. It's all gonna be all right.
They gaze down at the railway track.
She's looking out for you.
Damien heads back along the waste ground. Anthony stares at the railway line for a moment, then sighs and follows his brother. The next day, Dorothy, Anthony, Damien and Mr. Cunningham are in the living room of Serendipity. Dorothy puts on her shoulder bag.
Well, it was fun while it lasted, eh?
She glances around at them, then heads out to the hallway. Damien watches her go, then looks over at his dad. Dorothy comes back in, looking awkward.
Look, there's no easy way to say this, but I put a bit to one side for me to spend. You can have it back.
Dorothy, €6,310.
All for the best, eh?
Mr. Cunningham throws down some cash.
Dollars. It's just a few grand.
Dad.
Ten, really.
$11,400.
I was going to tell you. I sort of kept them by mistake.
Anthony throws down some cash.
Anthony.
I just enjoyed having a wedge. It wasn't really the money. I just liked having it.
€4,780.
They all look at Damien.
Dorothy wanted a holiday of a lifetime. Dad wanted to pay off all his credit cards. Anthony wanted one Game Boy Advance SP, one PlayStation 3, a Shogun Need BMX bike, a Rakuten 500 Super Quad bike, Nimbus 2000 Electromagnetic Stair Rider, a tabletop candy floss maker, an iPod, obviously, an iBook, obviously, and a stamp-on-it hydraulic rocket capable of attaining altitudes of over 100 metres. 3, 2, 1!
Mr. Cunningham, Dorothy and the boys have crawled into Damien's cardboard den. Damien mouths, "Blast off," and the central box of the den rockets high into the air, leaving a white vapour trail behind it.
That's how Anthony would want this story to end. With big piles of stuff. But it's not his story. It's mine.
Three parachutes gently glide the box down into an arid desert.
This is where I want it to end.
A couple of African children were sitting nearby. They get up and run across to the box as Damien pushes out one of the cardboard flaps and crawls out. He looks around at the sandy landscape and smiles. He then gets to his feet and walks off. Anthony follows him out and Dorothy crawls out from the other side of the box, followed by Mr. Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham stands and looks around with a wondrous smile as he jogs after the others. Damien and Anthony reach the top of a sandy ridge and run down it together. A man pumps the plunger of a shiny new water pump made out of metal tubing. Fresh water gushes out of the pump and villagers hold buckets and pans under the cascade. Damien, Anthony, Dorothy and Mr. Cunningham run into the crude settlement of rebuilt huts as more villagers converge on the water pump. The locals smile and laugh as buckets, pans, bottles and other containers are filled with fresh water. The happy villagers splash each other and laugh. Mr. Cunningham empties a bowl of water over Anthony's head, and Dorothy tips water over some of the laughing local children. Water flows out of a pipe and down a stretch of gutter. The picture freezes on the soaking wet Damien, a big smile on his face. Water slowly trickles along the gutter, and the screen turns white. ITFC audio description by Alan Blyton. The white screen fragments into tiny white particles which dissipate against a black background. One small speck of white remains at the bottom corner of the screen. Millions. Alex Ettel, Lewis McGibbon, James Nesbitt, Daisy Donovan. Directed by Danny Boyle. Written by Frank Cottrell Boyce. Produced by Andrew Hauptman, Graham Broadbent, Damien Jones. Co-producer Tracy Seawood. Executive producers Francois Ivanel, Cameron McCracken, Duncan Reed, David M. Thompson. Director of Photography Anthony Dodd-Mantle, DFF. Production designer Mark Tilsley. Editor Chris Gill. Music by John Murphy. Costume designer Susanna Buxton. Makeup and hair designer Roseanne Samuel. Casting directors Gail Stevens, CDG, Beverly Keogh. For Annie Teresa Meheran and Patrick Francis Boyle. Damien, Alex Ettel. Anthony, Lewis McGibbon. Ronnie, James Nesbitt. Dorothy, Daisy Donovan. The Man, Christopher Fulford. Community Policeman, Pierce Quigley. Mum, Jane Hogarth. St. Peter, Alan Armstrong. St. Francis, Enzo Celenti. St. Joseph, Nasser Mamazia. St. Clair, Catherine Pogson. St. Nicholas, Harry Kirkham. Gonzaga, Cornelius McCarthy. Ambrosio, Calade Agboke. Leslie Phillips, Leslie Phillips. Estate agent, James Quinn. Head teacher, Mark Chatterton. Damien's teacher, Toby Walton. Nativity teacher, Frank Cottrell Boyce. Surveyor, Christy Cullen. Eli Gunnar Vindberg. Jerome Christian Peterson. All Saint Three, Guy Flanagan. Tricia, Philippa Howarth. Keegan, Billy Highland. Graham, John Nugent. Terry, Steve Garty. Maria, Alice Grice. Fairclough, Dale Stringer. Sweet Shop owner, Warren Donnelly. Big Issue Seller 1, Emily Aston. Big Issue Seller 2, Denny James Smith. Scruffy Young Man, Nikki Evans. Cashier 1, Bina Patel. Cashier 2, Lisa Millett. Pizza Hut Waiter, Neville Skelly. Bright-Eyed Young Man, Daniel Wayman. Applicant 2, Tara Moran. Young Santa Woman, Joe Hicks. First Assistant Director, Richard Stiles. Second Assistant Director, Carlos Fidel. Production Manager, Lisa Parker. Production Coordinator, Kate Penlington. Assistant Production Coordinator, Janie Miller. Producer's Assistant, Asha Radwan. Hitsville, UK. Written by Joe Strummer and Mick Jones. Performed by The Clash. Nirvana. Written by Roger Tua and Loxatis. Performed by El Bosco. Hysteria. Music by Matthew Bellamy, Dominic Howard and Chris Wolstenholme. Lyrics by Matthew Bellamy. Performed by Muse. Blackout. Music by Matthew Bellamy, Dominic Howard and Chris Wolstenholme. Lyrics by Matthew Bellamy. Performed by Muse. La Petite Fille de la Mer. Written by Vangelis. Performed by Vangelis. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Written by Keith Strachan and Matthew Strachan. Brazil. Written by Aro Barossa. Performed by S Express. Happy Birthday. Written by Patty and Mildred Hill. Deck the Halls. Performed by the Northwest Choir. Arranged by Joseph Kumko. Carol of the Bells, performed by the Northwest Choir, arranged by Joseph Kumko. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Clip courtesy of Celador Productions Limited. With love and thanks, Steve Branch. May 1957 to December 2003. Filmed on location in Liverpool, Manchester and Widnes. All characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character or history of any actual persons, living or dead, is entirely coincidental and unintentional. World revenues collected and distributed by Freeway Cam BV. Pathé International, international sales agent. Developed with the assistance of the National Lottery through the UK Film Council Development Fund, and with the support of the media programme of the European Community. Supported by the National Lottery through the UK Film Council. Produced by Inside Track 1 LLP on behalf of Pathé. A Mission Pictures production for Pathé and Inside Track. Copyright Mission Pictures Limited, 2004. Distributed by Pathé.